Good morning. It's amazing what persistence does. Well, this morning we're going to be thinking about prayer. As Bart said, we've reached the point in Luke where we have the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to ask Peter to come and read the first four verses of our passage. And we're going to do this as a prayer. But before we do that, let me just ask you, if we didn't have the words of the Lord's Prayer on the screen, how many people would know them? How many of you youngsters would know the words of the Lord's Prayer on the screen? Okay. So as Peter reads this, listen really carefully. I want to make sure he gets it right. So Peter, let's use this passage as a prayer. So let's pray.
Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation. Amen.
Amen. Did Peter get it right? Oh, we've got a bit of doubt. He's got it wrong. You all say, what did he get wrong? Hang on, let me get a list of one of these pointy things and ask you. Tell us what he got wrong.
I think he said...
Did he say it all?
No, he didn't say it.
So he missed some bits out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. He missed some bits out. Peter, you missed some bits out of the Lord's Prayer.
No, I didn't. It said it all there.
Wow, just there. Interesting. Thank you. Okay, I'll let you go back. Let's turn in our Bibles then to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. I think it's on page 1042, if my memory serves me right. It is 1042. So if you've got a Bible, turn page 1042. Oh, I got my pointy thing. So here we've got Jesus teaching on prayer. In fact, Peter read us verses 2 to 4. What's happening here? The disciples have asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And most commentators think this is a different time from when Jesus teaches the people in Matthew, which is the Lord's Prayer that we're normally used to. Because what Jesus does here, it's just for the disciples. He strips it down. He strips down the Lord's Prayer. He gives kind of the acoustic version. And he helps us with just four, maybe five different headings to pray under. And if you look there, the first thing that we see is Father. Now we know this, and we've been through the Lord's Prayer last year, so we're just going to spend a very quick kind of revision time on this. So we see Father. And this is the first time, because all through the Old Testament, people couldn't call God Father. And now Jesus says you can call him Father, because I'm here. And we see, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And I want to see the prayer is staying connected with God. Do you remember some of us, you remember, used to sing prayer is like a telephone? That was always not brilliant for me, because I like to think of us as being connected with God in every aspect of our lives. So rather than being a little bit distant, this kind of connect stuff is more helpful for me. Thinking we're connected every part of our life. We're connected with God. So, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Because we recognize that this is what we feel quite often, isn't it? Wonder what sort of emotions we've got there. What have we got? We've got sorrow, loneliness, anger, scaredness. And a picture that's slightly like Katie, but I don't think it's you, Katie. We're saying we want that to be different. So the first part of the Lord's Prayer is bring your kingdom down on earth. And it's a great thing to pray for our whole world, isn't it? We want it to be like this. But the trouble is, actually this is about us as well, isn't it? So when the Lord's Prayer appears to be praying for everybody, we need to make it personal. So when we're praying, hallowed be your name. May you be holy. We're praying, will you be holy in our lives? And will your kingdom come in our lives? Because these are the kind of words that perhaps we see around us. Maybe you've used some of these. If you're a parent, the kind of bottom corner, occasionally, I hate you. I'll do it my way. We hear angry words. These are the areas that we need to move on from. And by praying that first bit of the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, come into our lives, change us. May your name be holy, your kingdom come in my life. And then we have three more components of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, give us our daily bananas. Is that right? Bread, bread. Thank you, Ellie. Yeah. Give us our daily bread. But of course, it's not just food, is it? It's give us everything. We need to trust God for everything. And this is saying we've got a choice. We're going to do it our own way or rely on God. So give us our daily bananas. Forgive us, for we forgive others. Seen the Damascus advert? The green gremlins there, the dirt. Where do they live? Who knows where they live? Peter, you know where they live.
Down the toilet.
Down the toilet. Yeah. We want to be forgiven, don't we? We want, and Jesus there will come and wipe away, completely wipe away all our sin. But why does it say forgive us for we forgive? The two are in completely linked. We have to forgive others. And here's a great test as to how much we feel forgiven. Because if we're struggling to forgive other people, we have to go back and remember just what it was that Jesus did for us. So why does this critical part of the Lord's Prayer think about forgiveness and remember what Jesus has done for me and for you? And then finally, lead us not into temptation. In this cut-down version of the Lord's Prayer, that's an HUD, a heads-up device. Yeah, great, I haven't got one in my car. I'd love to have one in my car. What it does, it puts all the key things you need to know right in front of you. Now, that most pilots have this, and you can see what it does. It tells them that they're on track, tells them they're at the right height, that they're at the right speed, that they're the right distance from where they are, and kind of whether their wings are there or there. Because if a pilot was thinking, I know what, that's a really nice mountain over there, I'm going to take my plane over there and explore it. This thing, first of all, flashes up a big warning, you're off track, and it makes a loud kind of siren-y noise. I won't do a siren-y noise. And that's what we're saying to God. Keep us away from those places that we know we like to go to, but are banned for us. So the Lord's Prayer there, in this cut-down version, the first part of what we're going to look at is really simple. You matter most. I want to be like Jesus. God, make us more like Jesus. Secondly, give me what I need. Thirdly, keep forgiving me. I know what I'm like. Keep on forgiving me. And then finally, be my heads-up device. Keep me facing the right direction. And we'll come back to the next bit. Because we need to think about why should God want to connect with us. So Jesus gave us a very simple pattern to follow, one that we're all familiar with. But he then went on in the next bit of Luke to kind of give us a bit of explanation around it and to answer some of those questions that you might have. So I'm going to ask Peter to come and read the next chunk of passage. So turn back in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 5 to 10.
Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, because he will not get up and give the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Thanks, Peter. Now, are you okay just wandering off over there? This is a slightly confusing passage, so I thought, let's see if we can bring it to life a bit. And we're going to try and act it out gently. So Peter, you're going to be the kind of man who, it's midnight, you're in your house and you're all locked up. Now he's going to be, let's just bring this to life a little bit, because back in those days, houses generally only had one room. The family would sleep on a platform, a little bit like that maybe. And all the animals would be in the house with them, milling around. So first of all, for the family, we need some youngsters to help Peter. Someone going to help Peter? A few people. Ellie, you're helping. Very good. Come on, our sister helping. Very good. So take your mat on your platform and go to sleep. There's a mat. Manage that. On the platform. There's your mat. On the platform. Keep your eyes up. Put your mats down and you can go to sleep. There should just be enough room in there. Thank you. Now, we need some animals milling around. Probably need some pathfinders to help me with that, and some older people. Always a good chance to get your own back on pathfinders. I can see two pathfinders over there, one there. You're let off of injury because you're working hard over there. Come and join me, please. Come on, Pathfinder men, come and join me. You've only got to mill around like animals. Bring your brother with you as well. Honorary Pathfinder. I think come over here. Will you mill around? I think we need some other animals as well. Robin, you look a bit like a donkey. Come and be an animal for us. Phil Cooper, come and be an animal for me, would you? What sort of animal is Phil, do you think? Yeah, we're a little camel. Here we go. Come and be a camel. Just mill around here, would you? So just in this area here, mill around. Is that enough, do we think? Richard, come and be a goat. Are you milling around? It's night time. Come and be a goat, just around here. Thank you very much. Perfect. And finally, the door's locked. So animals, you need to move in, because we're going to lock you in. You need to move in a bit more than that. Mill, mill. And they're locked in. Now we're getting a bit of a picture about why it was a bit more difficult for this man than it seemed. So let's try this out. Hey, Peter. Hello there. I know it's late, mate, but I've got a visitor coming, and he's travelled a long way, and my wife's forgotten to get any food in. I did make sure she wasn't here before I said that. Hey, mate. No, I'm really sorry to trouble you, but this guy's travelled a long way. It would be so rude if we had no food for him. Please, can I just have 3 loaves of bread? Children are asleep. You've got a cow in the house. You can't get to me. Oh, well, I kind of understand. Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. Hey, sorry, mate. Look, I'm really sorry. We've got to do this. I've got friends coming. It's going to be really rude. 3 loaves of bread. Go on, mate. Don't wake the children up, will you? Mind the animals. That's it. Unlock the door. The animals are very quiet, aren't they?
There you go.
Let's check that's right. One. Two. Right. Cheers. Thank you. Right. Very good. Very helpful. Thank you. Animals and children, please return. Actually, Peter, you can return as well. Are you hungry? Thank you very much. You behave very well. Better than lots of children, I know. Thank you. Great. Anyone hungry?
Who said yes?
It's only 3 days old. So, see, when Jesus was saying in this story that it was difficult, you see how difficult it would have been for someone to be knocked up at midnight with the door, the locks in place, the cows milling around, the camel and the donkey and the goat doing what they need to do, and the kids all asleep. He's saying it's really difficult. And what Jesus says there is that in chapter 11, we're in verse 8, I tell you though, he will not get up and give him bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now we need to be careful, because this isn't saying that God is a reluctant giver somehow. We're not saying that we need to hassle God and it's an inconvenience for him. Because the difference when we pray between when we pray and the story there is that with God there are no barriers. He hasn't got to climb over children and unlock the door and get past camels and goats. He's there and he loves us and he wants to do everything we ask of him. And we need to pray boldly. And the big part of this is about praying boldly. In fact, that word there in verse 8 where it says of a man's boldness, some translations will even translate that as being impudent. Well, I can find it where I am on my slides. So here's the message for this. Pray boldly, feel impudent. Now, impudent is a bit cheeky. It was impudent of me to try and get my talk in when I wanted to and not when Bart had planned it. But with God, we're saying, feel impudent. Because we have no right, do we, to pray to God? We have no rights. And yet, God says, I want you to pray. So if we're feeling it's a bit impudent to be praying with God, that's a good feeling, because that's how it should feel. Because we can pray boldly. It's okay to ask God for all sorts of things, the large and the small. And then Jesus goes on, doesn't he, in verses 9 and 10, to talk about asking, seeking, and knocking. Three really quite strong words. Three ways to pray. We can ask. It's fine to ask. I don't know about you, but quite often I find that I think I'm praying because I'm kind of thinking about stuff. But I'm not actually asking. We need to ask ourselves, are we asking God? Really asking? Or is it just a kind of gentle thought? The second thing Jesus says is seek. So seeking is active, isn't it? Seeking, we will pray sitting down and then we feel we've done our prayer. Seeking is more than that. Seeking is asking. Seeking is talking to people about what we're praying for. Looking for answers. Looking for God to answer us. And then finally, knocking. And knocking is quite an assertive thing to do, isn't it? When you knock, you know you've knocked. It's loud. Some of us were doing the Christian Aid collections, weren't we, over the last couple of, was it last week? Week before last, I can't remember. I have to say, I find that really difficult because I don't like knocking on people's doors. And I know that others of you feel the same. And yet we did it. Why don't we like knocking? What is it? Well, sometimes it's because we're a bit afraid to ask. And it could be like that, can't it, with God? We're afraid to ask. Sometimes it's because we're a little bit scared of what might be behind the door. And sometimes it's just because we think it's not appropriate. I was talking to somebody a while back and they were saying, I don't think I can ask God for some of the small things. Because I don't want to bother him. We need to check when we're praying, however long we've been praying. Are we really praying for some of those small things? Are we praying for the big things as well? So asking is a strong thing. Seeking is an active part of prayer that isn't just talking, but is talking to others. And knocking is that really assertive thing that knocks on God's door and says, I'm coming to you not because I have any right, but because you called me your son. And through Jesus' death, I can call you Father. So pray boldly. Feel impudent. And we're left with that question, though. What stops us praying sometimes? Because the what if. What if there's something scary behind the door? What if what we're praying for ends up with an answer that's a bit challenging? And we'll deal with that in a while. We're talking about Jesus explaining to us how we pray. And then the fact that we can pray boldly and we're encouraged to pray boldly, to seek, to ask and to knock. And Jesus then moves us on with another imagine story. So Peter, would you come and read then the last passage, the last part of this passage? So Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, is it? Yes, on page 1043, Luke chapter 11, just the last few verses of that passage.
Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, know how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Thank you. So Jesus moves the story on, and this is quite a well-known one. I want to suggest that this is a story that's about breakfast. And I want to use this to show that God answers our prayers without any catches. You know, often we have a feeling that maybe God's not going to do what we want him to do. Or that God's going to create a situation that will be difficult or unpleasant for us. God answers our prayers and there are no catches. There are no tripwires with God. This is why I think this is about breakfast, because it's about eggs and fish. And if you went to have breakfast at the Winter Garden Hotel in London, here are some of the things you would have for breakfast. You would have oak-smoked Scottish salmon with scrambled eggs and a toasted wholemeal bloomer. I joke about bloomers, I can't work it out. And then you have smoked haddock, poached hen's egg, hollandaise sauce and mustard. Or you could have eggs Benedict, poached free-range eggs on toasted English muffins with oak-smoked salmon. Who didn't have their breakfast this morning and now wish they did? Yeah. Now, those of you who know me, actually, this isn't a very attractive breakfast at all, but for lots of people it is. And for just £29 you can have this as well. Breakfast, eh? And I wonder what would happen if the waiter came along and said, look, I'm sorry, we've run out of eggs and fish, but look, you can have one of these. And to go with it, you can have one of those. I don't think so, do you? You see, Jesus says here, doesn't he? If you, fathers among you, if your children ask for eggs Benedict for breakfast, I guess not too many of us have that, he's not going to give you one of those, or one of those. But actually the trouble is, let's go back to one of those, sometimes we find ourselves asking for one of those by mistake. I don't know, you see maybe these You've Been Framed programs where you get little youngsters, like one or two of those here, where they see a worm on the ground or a little bug, and actually what they want to do is to pick it up and put it in their mouth. And actually I hate these things, one of my huge fears when my kids were younger, not that we ever went anywhere with scorpions, was that one of them would just think, well, that's quite interesting, I think I'll give that a try. Sometimes we do find ourselves asking for things that we think are nice and are good, but they're not good for us. See, God always gives us things that we need and things that we want. So let's reread that last verse. Let's take that off the screen because it's not a nice picture. I found a new button. Let's just read verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you, give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, hang on, we were talking about breakfast a minute ago and now we're on the Holy Spirit. How does that fit? Well, it does fit. Because the Holy Spirit brings us right back to the beginning of what Jesus was teaching us. Because it's the Holy Spirit that shows us the gaps in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit who shows us the difference between our lives now and God's perfection. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we discover what it is that we can pray for, that about what's best for us. You know, it's a little bit like those Channel 4 adverts. Do you remember those Channel 4 idents where everything looks a bit blurred and it all comes into play? Let's see if we can make that happen. And look a little bit carefully. A little bit more volume. Everything's all blurry, there's just images and things. And then suddenly it all becomes clear. You've seen those, haven't you? I love those. And that's a little bit like what the Holy Spirit does for us. All the stuff that looks odd, the things that we ask for aren't right. He brings it together into a clear pattern and brings our lives into focus for us. So we can speak to the Father because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to be with us. So let's conclude. We said that the Lord's Prayer can be broken down simply, do you matter most, God? And we want to be like Jesus. You can give me what I need, and you do when you love to. Keep forgiving me, because I keep getting it wrong. I know what I'm like. And be my heads-up device. So prayer is staying connected with God. It's not a one-off transaction. We can pray boldly. If we feel impudent, we're right to feel impudent, but it's good too. And God answers our prayers. There are no catches, even when he says no. That's because he knows what's best for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us that simple pattern to follow. And we do pray that we can call down heaven. We want heaven to be here on earth. Lord, we pray that you will give us what we need. Forgive us. Forgive us when we get it wrong so often and help us to forgive others. And we pray that you will direct our lives. Lord God, will you please direct our lives? Keep us on track. Warn us when we're going off track. Keep us focused on you. Amen.